song, very encouraging. I think of my wife this morning, needs encouragement. She just got word that her brother, just very close to him as they grew up, Harry Leeser Jr., he has about three, according to the doctor, 3 months to possibly a year, 2 years to live with the cancer that he has all over. But we could pray, and we've been praying for him. And for my wife, she's feeling that, just got word on the way to church. Secondly, I talked, communicated with our former pastor, Charles Ware. He's been a widower now for 2 years. His wife passed, and he let me know that he is getting married, a godly widow, widow for 17 years. She spent a year just caring for her husband who had a terminal condition. And he said she's a great lady, and they are planning to get married. I don't have the date. I didn't ask him, but coming up, Dr. Charles Ware, our former pastor, getting married to a very godly lady. So be praying for that. Pray for Harry Leeser. These are changing times that we're in, but thank God his word does not change. Amen? And so today we're looking at Genesis chapter 26. And I want to read part of a verse to you. Look at chapter 26 and just part of verse 12. And here's what the enemies of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the Israelites said to Isaac while he was in the land. It says that they were speaking against him. But then in verse 12, here's what Isaac did. Look at verse 12. It says, then Isaac sowed in that land. Then Isaac sowed in that land. You know what sow is. It doesn't mean that you're mending, putting buttons on shirts, right? Doesn't mean you're sewing up. No, it's not S-E-W. It's sowed, S-O-W. It means he planted seeds in the land to grow vegetables, to grow fruit. And God really blessed his sowing in the land. In fact, look at the rest of the verse 12. It says, then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. So he received a hundredfold. He sowed and he had crops galore. He had blessings galore. They just came down upon him. And I couldn't help but think of Matthew 6:6, where Jesus said, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And I see that happening here with Isaac. You got a good name, Isaac. The sermon's after you here. Isaac, I see that you should seek blessing showered openly upon you. And this is how to have God's blessing showered openly upon you. Openly upon your marriage. Openly upon your family and our church and our country. And you say, Pastor, how can I do it? Well, it's right here in Genesis 26, starting with verse 12. It says, and they said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. The enemies of the Lord saw the blessing showered down, notice this, upon Isaac. And they said in verse 28, this is verse 28 now of Genesis Genesis 26, it says, and they said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee, and that they saw that God had showered blessings upon Isaac. Now, that's what we need today. I had a professor in college, a great man of God. He's now in heaven, Dr. Rembert Carter. He said, what we need today more than anything else in our lives, in our churches, he said, we need God's blessing. And that means that God is benefiting you. God is blessing you. And you say, well, Pastor, how can I experience God's blessing? And if you're a child of God, you could experience it, number one, by sowing the gospel seed wherever God plants you. All right? Notice it says in verse 12 again, I'll go back to verse 12 of Genesis 26 and I'll read that. Then Isaac sowed in that land. Now, what land was it? It was the promised land. Now, Isaac wanted to go down to Egypt just like Abraham did because he was afraid of the enemies, and so he was going to travel to Egypt, which is like the world. It's a type of the world. God said, nope, you go to the promised land. This is where I want you to stay. This is where I want you to live. I'll bless you in the promised land. I'll bless your children in the promised land. I'll make a great nation of you. I'll bring the Messiah from you. You just stay put where I want to plant you in the promised land. And you know what? I have found out where God wants me. And you know where God wants me? In northeastern Pennsylvania. I always, ever since I went to Florida, I always tried to get back to Florida. For some reason, I love Florida. I think it was the palm trees. I think it was like 70 to 80 degree weather in January. I love Florida. And I wanted to go back to Florida. Ever since I went there when I was between 8th and 9th grade, I wanted to go back to Florida. And I kept going back to Florida. And when I was in college, I found a guy that was a student. He lived in Florida. I said, I want to go to Florida. So we went to Florida over the summer. I met my wife in Florida. And that was a blessing. I got my wife in Florida, met her in a Baptist church. Thank God, didn't meet her in a bar. Met her in a Baptist church in Florida. But God wanted me in northeastern Pennsylvania. And we lived there for a year, but God called me back here to Scranton, Pennsylvania. And we even got married in Scranton, Pennsylvania. God just worked that out. And so I went to Florida in 1977, and I lived there for a year. And I found out I was here in this church from 1971 to 1977, then went to Florida for 77 to 78. I was there for about a year. And you know what? That was like a sabbatical year for me. I found out as I look back, I was here 6 years. He gave me 1 year of rest in Florida and brought me back here to Scranton. You know why? Because he wanted me to sow the gospel seed in northeastern Pennsylvania. He wanted me to be part of a church in northeastern Pennsylvania where God could bless me and shower his blessings upon me. And listen to me, that's what you need to do. You need to find out where God wants you in the church, and when you get in the church, what God wants you to do in the church, and you need to be faithful to it. You need to stick with it and bury yourself there in that church. My last name is Bloom. Randy Bloom. Isn't that a pretty name? Bloom. I got a granddaughter named Summer Bloom. You know, Bloom. Now don't call me a blooming idiot. I don't like that. But Bloom. And it reminds you of blooming. And you know, when we were coming up to Scranton, my wife's sister, older sister, Sherry, she gave us a big poster, and we opened it up, and we're driving from Florida to Scranton, and it said, bloom where you are planted. Bloom where you are planted. And you know what? That is so true. God wants us to be planted in a church, and that's our promised land for today. Isaac was to go to the land of Canaan and be planted there, and he sowed seed there, and God blessed that seed, and it brought forth fruits and vegetables, and he became greatly blessed. Well, today, the seed that we sow is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The soil are the hearts of people in and around our Jerusalem, in and around our church. And the question is, have you dug in, and are you blooming where you're planted? I had a deacon in the church years ago. This was decades ago. You wouldn't know him. But he was a good man. He helped us start the church. But he got into the place where I used to call him God's butterfly. That's worse than God's snail. God's snail is a good thing. God's butterfly. And you know what a butterfly does? You ever seen a butterfly goes from flower to flower and pollinates that flower, whatever the butterfly does with a flower? That's what he did. He got to the thing where he didn't stay with our church. He'd go to another church over there, and then another church over there, and then another church over there. And he would share his, whatever he did, you know, with those churches and his friendship and everything. But he made no impact anywhere he went. Why? Because he didn't do what the Bible says in Acts 20:28. It says that each church has an angel or message make man of the church, a head pastor of the church. And it says the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you to feed that flock, to lead that flock. The Holy Ghost puts you in a church. And when you get there, you need to bloom where you're planted. You need to sow the gospel seed wherever you are, and we need to do that. You know, we've had people come to our church and they say, I want to take the Lord's table. I say, well, are you a member of the church? Have you been saved? Yeah, I'm saved. Have you been baptized? Oh yeah, I was dunked. By the way, after you get saved, you need to get dunked under the water. Put the uniform on. I got the Steeler tie on today. I don't give them much chance of beating the Bills this year, but I got the Steeler tie. I'm going to root for them. And of course, I wear my Michigan stuff. I'm Michigan national champs. Just, have I told you lately? Michigan national champs. I wear that. But listen, I got baptized after I got saved. I got dunked under the water. And that's what you need to do. And then Acts 2:41, join the church. But these guys would come to church and they would say to me, Pastor, I want to take the Lord's table. I said, well, you got to be a member. I'm not a member here. I'm a member over there. Then I said, why don't you go there and take the Lord's table? Why are you here? Well, I like your preaching. Okay. Well, listen, you're supposed to get in a church. You know, I don't go to my wife and give her a kiss, then go lady down the road and give her a kiss, and then wink at the lady at Dunkin' Donuts. And, you know, one woman, one man. I'm just saying, my friends, get in a church where God wants you and make an impact in that church. And I mentioned it. I hate these parachurch people. They're not a member of any church, but oh, I'm fellowshipping with people from all different churches. And I got my charismatic guys here and this, and we're all fellowshipping together. And I tell them, get in a local church. Get in there and stay in there. And I had a guy, you know, he came to this church. He liked this church. He believed what the pastor's preaching. It was good stuff. And he said, but I'm leaving the church, Pastor. I'm going to go to another independent fundamental Baptist church with the right Bible and everything. I said, why are you going? He said, well, it's a bigger fishing hole for women. I said, what? He said, it's a bigger fishing hole for women. I want you to know I caught my little fish over there from a little Baptist church. It wasn't a big Baptist church, smaller than this one in Florida. I told him, I said, it's not the size of the fishing hole, it's the size of the God. Get in the church and get committed, and you do what God wants you to do, he'll bring in that wife for you. And he didn't listen to me. He went, and he came back and said, I didn't find a woman. And he kept looking. He went here, there, another church. He left our church. He kept looking. Finally, he found a woman. Now they're divorced. Amen. I mean, it's a mess. I'm just saying, friends, get in and sow the gospel seed wherever God plants you. I think of Jose Valley. Is Jose here? Amen, Jose Valley. He's a faithful bus worker. He's in our college. He is serving God. And yeah, it's hard sometimes, isn't it? The feelings sometimes aren't there, and the difficulties are there. But Jose, and I said something about Jose Valley. I said to Brother Z, I just wish Jose Valley would get locked in. He'd produce something. He's here, but he's not here. He's just kind of in and out, up and down. I said, I wish he'd get locked in. And lo and behold, all of a sudden, Jose Valley got locked in. And I tell people, bury yourself in the local church until God blasts you out. And Jose did, and he is being used to God, and he's sowing the gospel seed. Same thing with Brother Matthew. When he came, he was here, there, back and forth. He left us three times. And the third time was a charm. And he hasn't left since. And he's a bus captain. Praise God, he was on the bus with nobody running the program today. I don't know how he did it. And a big group in the bus. But he was faithful. Amen? He's faithful. The greatest ability is dependability. It's dependability. It's being faithful. And I'm just saying, you if you want to abound in blessings, the Bible said the faithful man aboundeth in blessing. We're talking about in this sermon, the name of it is you seeking blessing showered openly upon you. And you get that by being planted in the place where God plants you and then sowing that gospel seed wherever God plants you. And what a blessing it is to sow that gospel seed. You say, well, Pastor, what is that gospel seed? Number one, everybody sinned against God. Number two, there's a price for sin, right? You're going to have to die and go to hell to pay for your sin. That's what the Bible says. And one sin is enough to put you in hell. But here's the good news. God came out of heaven because he loved the world. And he was willing to die in our place and pay for the sins of the world and be buried and rise from the dead and conquer death. So if any man or woman or child, any one of you, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ to save you, you won't have to go to hell. You go to heaven. I don't know about you, but that excites me. That God loved the world to do that. And somebody was saying, you know, what keeps you going and what keeps you coming back? In fact, it was Kareem back there. He said that to me. And he said, what keeps you going? You know, you don't get upset when I get upset. And he said, you just keep coming back here and you keep visiting me. And I said, I'll tell you, Kareem, what keeps me going. It's the love of Jesus Christ for me. He loved me enough to die for me. And he rose from the dead. And I am living for him. And so seek blessings showered upon you by sowing the gospel seed where he plants you. And secondly, I would like to say this morning, seek blessings showered openly upon you by seeking the gospel blessings. Look at verse 12 of Genesis 26, the second part of the verse. It says, after Isaac sowed, it says, and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. So what blessing did he receive from the Lord? He received a hundredfold. In other words, he had a harvest of fruits. He had a harvest of vegetables. He had a harvest of food. How many of you like it when you have a lot of food in the refrigerator? Yeah. You don't like it when you have food in the refrigerator? How about food in the cupboard? Amen. It's nice, right? Now, sometimes I'm a pastor. I raised six pastor kids. They'd go into that refrigerator and they didn't find a lot of food in there sometimes. Amen. You say, why not? Some people were robbing God. And we had some lean times, you know. But I stayed with it anyway. And now, thank God, we got food all the time. And God provides for us. But I'm just saying to you, that's what was happening with Isaac for his family, for his flocks, for his herds, for all the people in his household. And he had servants and people working with him. He had food galore. He had a harvest galore. God was showering it upon him. And he had to wait, you know, till the harvest time. But God blessed his sowing. And that was really great. And listen, I am so glad when I see believers coming out soul winning. Brother Eddie Brent came out Thursday night, and Brother Eddie went soul winning on Thursday night. He went out with Brother Alex, and they led somebody to the Lord, a lady to the Lord. You know what? If more believers would come out and get saved and come down the aisle and get baptized and not be ashamed to say, I'm going to be baptized for Jesus. And then they join the church and they would then go out and tell others about Jesus. I'm sure we've had people kicked off porches and everything else. Miss Marion, she's been going out. Miss Rose's been going out. If more people would do that and come out of the closet for Jesus, we'd have less homosexual people, sodomite people coming out of the closet. Have you noticed how proud sodomite people are? I'm talking about homos are of their sin. Now, listen to me. I'm not hating on a homo. If you're a homosexual lifestyle, you're on your way to hell, and you could get saved by Jesus. But and I invite you to trust Jesus, but listen to me. You're not going to get saved by Jesus and then live a homo lifestyle in this church.
Right.
No, you're not going to do it. We're not ashamed of what the Bible says. We're not ashamed of Jesus Christ. And you should not be ashamed, and I should not be ashamed, by seeking gospel blessings, by seeking to get people saved and get lives changed. And you know what? I was given the gospel. Maybe I had somebody pray to receive Christ here or pray to receive Christ there. But I said, they're not coming down the aisle. They're not getting baptized. They're not joining the church. They're not going out and telling others about Jesus. And I began to pray and I said, I want the blessings of the gospel. Isaac sowed and he got 100-fold back of fruit and vegetables and food. Where are the blessings of people? And I asked God for that. I said, Lord, you know, that's called watering the, you sow the seed and after you sow, how many have planted grass before? You sow the seed, then you have to water it, right? And water it. And then the grass comes up. And you water it with prayer. And I prayed and I said, God, I just want to break out of barrenness. I feel like I'm barren. And I read in Samuel about a lady named Hannah, and she was barren. She couldn't have a child, and she was so upset. She prayed to God and prayed to God. And guess what? God gave her a baby in answer to prayer named Samuel. And then she had 5 other children. And God helped her to break out of barrenness. And when I prayed to God and I said, God, I want the blessings of my soul winning. I was walking down a road. I led a guy to the Lord who was ready to commit suicide. That guy got saved, baptized, joined the church, living for God. And I thank God for that. Brother Eddie Brent got saved and then he became a soul winner after he got baptized and joined the church. And I saw others get saved. Brother Kyle and others. And what I'm saying to you is that I ask God for people to get saved and for them to get baptized. How about you? Have you been saved? Don't be a secret agent, Christian. You come forward and get baptized. You join the church. After I got saved in Muskegon, Michigan, I got baptized in Muskegon, Michigan. That meant I got dunked under the water and then brought back up. We have everything for that ready because we are a Baptist church. Amen. It doesn't say Scranton Revival Methodist Church. No, we're Baptists. John the Baptist, amen? He baptized people under the water, brought them back up. Thank God we do bring them up. And so I'm just saying, you got to get saved first, and then you get baptized. My wife's brother, his name is Harry Leeser. I just mentioned to you to pray for him. Thank God he's saved now, but he told my wife when she was going to get baptized in a church, he said, don't get baptized now. Wait till you're real old, just ready to die, then get baptized because then you get all your sins washed away. And now you're going to commit all these sins and mess it up. You're going to go to hell. He didn't understand. Baptism doesn't wash your sins away. Nothing but the blood of Jesus does that. But I guarantee you, you put your faith in Jesus and his blood, you're cleansed. And your sins are paid for. And he wants you to pray and to witness and to see others that get saved and get baptized and become soul winners just like you. And that is what we are asking God for. And God blessed Isaac with that kind of thing going on. And it says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. And thank God we've got more people going out on Thursday night. Thank God. I even got excited with the Bajeski family. They've been coming out on Thursday night to go soul winning, Bob and Angela and their kids. But Mrs. Bajeski told me, she said the younger kids wanted to go out. And she said, we really couldn't have them go out on Thursday night. So we're coming to Saturday soul winning at 11:30. And there they were. And the other two boys, Ben and Robbie, they were out helping the B bus route and Brother Jose on the B bus route as bus workers. Am I right or am I right? I'm right. Amen. And so the kids were out and they helped out on the A bus route and knocking on some doors. And I said, thank God for that, because that is going to result in lives changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we see that here with Isaac. And I want you to notice what it says in 12, not 12b, but 13 and 14. Read those verses with me. It says, you can just listen, I'll read it. And the man, speaking of Isaac, waxed, that means grew. Isaac waxed or grew great and went forward and grew, notice that, grew until he became very great. Now that doesn't mean he became like this because of all the food. No. It meant that he had more flocks and more herds and more things going on because of God's blessing. And that is in verse 13. And verse 14 says, for he had possession, right there, of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him. Now you say, Pastor, how can we save America? How can we save it? America's in a mess. Would you agree? America is ready to be conquered and is being conquered by wicked people because America no longer is great like it was. And what do we need? Well, I think of Abraham, Isaac's father, and he was praying for Sodom. You say, what was Sodom known for? Homosexuals. They call themselves queers, don't they? Queer nation and so forth. Homosexual. That just means perverted from God's way. God's way is Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And yet America has that in their TV program. Hallmark of all people, I just heard, is pushing homosexuality. Hallmark. Two guys kissing guys. Two girls kissing girls. They're pushing it. Well, you're not going to hear that here because I'm going to tell you God's word. And God said, if you don't stop your homosexuality, I'm going to bring fire down upon you and destroy you. God hasn't changed his mind about it. I think of Obama when he put the rainbow in the White House and he covered it with a rainbow. And he's not talking about the rainbow of God. He stole that from God. His covenant, and he put it over the White House, and he said, we're a queer nation. No, we're not a queer nation. But listen to me. We are a lot like Sodom. And Abraham prayed for God to save Sodom. Now you say, why did Abraham pray to save Sodom? Because he had a saved nephew there. He wanted him to be safe and his family. And so he prayed to God, and he said, God, if you have 10 righteous people, will you spare Sodom? In other words, if you could find 10 people in there that are saved, would you please save Sodom and not rain fire down upon them? And God said, if I find 10 righteous, that means saved people, in Sodom, I won't do it. You know what? There weren't even 10 there. Lot was saved. His wife wasn't saved. His two daughters that were single may have been saved, but his married daughters and their husbands, they were not saved. And so maybe you had about three people out of that whole city that was saved. Well, you say, how can we save America? How can we save our area? I'll tell you, we can go forward with the gospel and sow the gospel seed. Amen. And we can pray God's blessing upon the gospel and have changed lives so we know people are really saved. And guess what? If we have a certain number, it will save Scranton. It will save America. Because when I pray to God, I don't pray for the whole country. I pray for God's people in the country. And I say, Lord, spare the country for the sake of your people so we can keep going with the gospel. And so that's what I'm talking about this morning. And that's why I get encouraged when I see people coming out on a Thursday night. When I see people coming out on a Saturday like the Bajeski family. And Brother Kyle told me, he said, Pastor, I heard your preaching. I need to get back on Monday and go out with Brother Eric. Thank you. Thank you. You see the need. Amen. He's a good man. Cup of cold water in my name. I won't forget you. You know what? God sees that. And he says, I will bless that. and you will grow great. You know what? There was a time when independent fundamental Baptist churches were the largest churches in Pennsylvania, the largest churches in Georgia. Now the largest churches are a bunch of cancer, tumor, Laodicean churches that compromise with the world. God told Abraham, don't go to Egypt. God told Isaac, don't go to Egypt. That's the world. He said, stay right there in the land. And God wants you to do that. And I'm going to talk about that tonight. We're going to get back to this subject tonight. Come back tonight. We'll get into that. But right now what I'm talking about is seeking the gospel blessings that would make us a great church. Thank God for churches, but there are so many churches, they're like the disciples. Remember the disciples after Jesus rose from the dead? They didn't even know he was risen. They didn't even witness for him. What were they doing? They were in the upper room just afraid. Oh, what am I going to do? They killed our master. Your master is not on a cross. I don't see him up on a cross. He rose from the dead. He's in heaven. He sent the Holy Ghost. He said, go. Go into the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Lo, I'm with you. Even to the end of the world. I love it when I'm out there on a Saturday. I love it when I'm out there on a Thursday. I love it when I'm out there with the gospel of Jesus Christ, because I know Jesus is with me. I say, Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Speaking of the power of the Holy Spirit. I know he'll never leave a believer. He'll never forsake him. But he can withdraw his power if we're not soul winning. If we're not sowing the gospel seed and seeking in prayer the power and blessing of God. He can withdraw himself. We should have more churches growing. More bus groups that are growing. Thank God that this bus is going to split in two. Amen. He said he set a goal for 40 today. You had how many?
60
on the bus today. Praise God! I'm just saying our bus routes are growing. And we're going to have more bus routes. My vision is our Jerusalem is Tunkhannock to Moscow and Carbondale to Wilkes-Barre. When we reach that, then we're still not done. Amen? You say, what are you going to do then? You'll be filled up. Then we're going to go out and plant other churches. We're going to go out and plant other churches in Pennsylvania and in America and send out preachers that are being trained. I'm just saying, my friends, God wants us to be showered openly with blessings. How is it going to happen? By sowing the gospel seed wherever he has planted you. Get planted in a church, get planted in a ministry, and be a soul winner there, and then seek change lives through the gospel. Seek people that will be disciples for Christ, will follow him, get baptized, and if you didn't get baptized, you haven't even started yet. You need to do it. Amen? And then you need to get here and stay here. You say, what are you talking about? Three to thrive. You want three to thrive? Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday. You say, Pastor, that's too much. I can't go to church Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday. Well, then stop eating three meals a day. Eat one meal a week. Only on Sunday morning. Pastor, I'm not doing that. Well, then three to thrive. Amen? I say four or more to win the war. The fourth is being a soul-winning ministry where you can go with others and train others. You say, oh, Pastor, I can't afford that. You can't afford not to do that. You'll lose your family. You'll lose a lot of blessings. Time is short. Some people used to say time is money. I say time is people who die and go to hell.
It's good preaching.
Rescue the perishing.
Yes.
Care for the dying.
Amen.
And I want to just tell you, if you're here today, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you haven't, that's the most important decision you'll make. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That means to trust in him to save you from hell and rely upon him, just like you're sitting in that pew and relying upon it to hold you up. Once you get saved, you need to come down the aisle and get baptized. Somebody will go with you. I had a deacon go with me when I did it. I said, would you go with me? He said, sure. He took me up. And I got baptized. Join the church. And grow and go for God. Amen, amen and amen. I'll finish this up tonight. But let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We've been talking about being showered openly with blessings. That you and I need to seek that by sowing where God put us. And by seeking the blessings of the sowing that we're doing. The gospel blessings. I wonder if you say, Pastor, I know that Jesus Christ is my Savior. I'm not willing to trust anyone or anything else to get me to heaven but Jesus and what He did on the cross. And I know that I'm saved with a Bible reason. Would you raise your right hand if you could say, I know that for sure, all over this building? Would you please, if you know it? Only if you know it. Thank you, thank you. All right, you may put it down. Some of you were being honest, and you wouldn't raise your hand unless you really were 100% sure with a Bible reason you're going to heaven. If you're not 100% sure with a solid Bible reason you're going to heaven, let me say to you, it's very likely you're going to die and go to hell, pay for your sins. But there's a way to be saved. And I'd like to pray for you to be sure that you're saved. Would you just say, Pastor, I want to be saved. Would you pray for me to have that assurance, 100%, that I'm saved? If you couldn't raise your hand before, honestly, would you raise your right hand right now? Just all over this building, wherever you are. I see it in the back right there. All right. I see it in the back right there. The young ladies. I see another young man right there. I see a number of hands up, about 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hands up. Anybody else? I'm not 100% sure, Pastor, but I'd like to know. All right, I see those hands. You may put it down. Now, everybody else be praying, please, for these folks. If you raised your hand right then, would you lift your head? Only the people that just raised their hand. Yeah, you guys back there. Yes, you back there. And back in the back. Would you just look at me for a moment? Give me your attention. In the back there, if you just raised your hand, would you lift your head just a moment? Lift your head back there. And just look at me. Amen? If you raised your hand, just look at me. Some of you have your head bowed, but you lifted your hand that second time and you don't have your head up. Would you just look at me? Okay. Now listen very carefully. Jesus is calling you. And He